This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for answers about someone and you've hit a dead end? There's an online tool that can help you locate almost anyone within minutes. Confidentially search millions of public records by phone number, address, name, or email to find out more information about people in your life. Go to truthfinder.com to locate almost anyone now.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Jeff Phelps here, Jake Volnick in for Andy today. We have had Cynthia Freeland on the show before. We love when Cynthia joins us. When you're looking for smart, sharp analysis on the NFL, Cynthia is our go-to, and she's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from the NFL Network. Hi, Cynthia.
How you doing?
We are well, but oh, we're so perplexed here in Cleveland, we don't know what to do.
Well, I think you got some good options. Number two is a good place to be. There's a lot of interesting ways that you could go. I think it's all upside.
Oh, I love the way you're thinking. Riddle me this one. You need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. There's a guy out there who's not named Cam Ward, who probably is going to be on the board at number two, named Shadur, who a lot of people think would have been the fifth, sixth, whatever, pick in last year's drafted quarterback, blah, 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 is a guy who might not be that highly thought of in comparison to other quarterbacks who have come out in the past, worth taking at number two because you need a quarterback?
You know, the answer, I guess, to me would be, I'm looking at the opportunity here to be like, all right, what about Travis Hunter there? Because I think he is a really special talent as well. A guy who, I mean, that guy, you talk about culture changer. And I like Shador, don't get me wrong. But just Travis Hunter is so unique. I haven't seen anyone like him in a really long time. And, like, I think he eats, breathes, sleeps, all of it, football too. So he's a cool, interesting X factor that you have to – You can't at least discount, right? You can't be like, wow, maybe we should, you know, we need a quarterback, but we can't look at this guy. I think you have to at least consider him.
You can consider Travis Hunter. The Browns go out to the Colorado Pro Day. They send eight people there. Is that a sign to you that they are in love with one of those guys? They're probably going to draft one, or is that just a typical behavior for you? Because the Browns, as far as we know, have not sent eight people to do just about anything throughout the draft.
I mean, but, you know, have we ever seen a pro day called a showcase before? But,
no.
You know, I think
high school
part
level,
of it
yes.
is to get it right. You know, I don't necessarily, like, there are two guys there who are worthy of the second pick overall. You know, I will agree that for Shador, some of that has to do with scarcity at the position and the fact that, you know, there just aren't always tons of quarterbacks everywhere. If there were, it would be a much easier game to win and, you know, no one would be looking every year. So I take the eight people personnel-wise as more of a sign of, you know, we need some to get our full assessment of Travis Hunter. We need some to get our full assessment of Shador Sanders. And there are a couple other, you know, like a receiver here too, you know, later round guys. But I just take it more as, you know, those two guys are just so different and so interesting that you probably can't have, you know, you want to have diversity of people in the room who make decisions to bring different viewpoints.
I think Travis Hunter is a really fascinating prospect. You have needs here in Cleveland, Cynthia. The idea of, and tell me what appeals to you more, and also what do you think helps you win football games more? Putting another big-time defensive end across from Myles Garrett, bringing in a guy like Hunter who we've not seen before, could he actually play both sides and play him at the level that people think he can? Or a quarterback who might not be top five, but if he's top 10,
right,
how do you pass on him? Which one helps you win football games more if you're the Cleveland Browns?
I'm going to go with, and I know this is not a very analytics-based answer, but in this point, it's where is the sum of all of the parts that you could get in the whole draft going to be more than the individual units, the individual players that make that up. So I'm going to give this front office and Andrew Berry and, of course, Kevin Stefanski the latitude to say whatever they pick, I'm going to give them some trust there. Because ultimately, if they believe they can get more from piecing together what they've seen from Kenny Pickett, I don't know what's happened in the building, what they believe at this point, but if they think they can get more, I'm counting Travis Hunter as mainly a wide receiver with some, you know, with some corner upside. Dion, my former coworker, told all of us.
Drop there. I like that.
Yeah, well, I just want to, establish credibility that it's
absolutely
not like from what he's saying on TV. Like, he told a bunch of us who he used to work with that realistically the kid could play 80 snaps a game. So that's some on – that's both sides. So if you think 60 is like a round number for number of snaps on each side. So when you're looking at that, you're like, okay, he's going to play most – and he said – Deion said he's going to play most – I see him as playing mostly wide receiver – with some packages on the defense. That's what he said. So I'm gonna take Deion at his word,
okay. And
that's where I would project him, and that's how I've been forecasting him. So when I'm looking at that, is the sum of that better than? I'm a little more out on Abdul Carter than other people, so I think you can get a lot of great help for the whole defensive front and what a unique kind of mind you have a defensive coordinator can do with a guy who has absolutely just elite traits in Myles Garrett. I think you can, this is a much deeper defensive line class. So I think, Jim Schwartz is going to be happy with whatever he's able to get in later rounds. So I'm saying the marginal return, you are really, to me, the calculus is the quarterback position scarce enough where we can't find someone that we could make do with for a year or whatever to figure out in order to take Travis Hunter, or is Travis Hunter too elite? Can we get him? Do we need a quarterback? It's scarcity at the position that would really drive to me the ultimate like refinements between what you take where.
Cynthia, just because I'm interested, why the reserve on Abdul Carter?
I'm not going to be very popular for saying this, but when I look at his film, even when he's fully healthy, and I do believe he could have more of an injury risk than maybe we initially thought, at least way back in the combine days. Doesn't that feel like it was like years ago?
Yes.
It was like 2 minutes ago. But I'm worried about injuries. And also, I think people have overestimated. I think that they've like, he's wearing 11. He went to Penn State. He's not Micah Parsons. He's done it for 1 year at a high level, but his resume doesn't include things that you would want. He has great burst. The stuff you can't teach, he has. The great burst, and, Myles Garrett's burst is elite, the fastest we've seen since he entered the league. We get it. We need a good burst. But he doesn't have non-bull rush moves that are, what happens on a second effort? What happens when you have to, when they double team you? He does those things, they're so unknown that it introduces volatility into the projection. And when you have a deep class, so meaning the substitutes at, he could be elite. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he couldn't. I just feel like he's not as well polished and formed. The projection includes more volatility than other players.
Cynthia Freeland joining us from the NFL Network. Is there another quarterback outside of Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders who you think, this guy might even have more upside and would be a better pick for the Browns if he's there at 33 or they could trade back up into the first round?
I might not be popular for this one either, but I think you could get, I'm not suggesting, franchise, like the next coming of Patrick Mahomes, blah, like not saying that. But I do think, like, if somehow, there are so wildly varying opinions of Jackson Dart that it's like it could be all over the place. If he were somehow available at 33, that would be a nice way to, like, if you could get Travis Hunter and Jackson Dart, life would be great. I know he's old, but Tyler Shuck out of Louisville, he's got something that feels like, I'm not, again, if you're let's talk about for 2-3 years, a guy who could really, you know, be a very good addition to a system that didn't require him to do, you know, off platform, crazy arm angle stuff. He's got a good arm. You know, I know he had, other than at Louisville last year, he had a couple of injury issues, and I think it's funny that was like, he's 600 years old. Like, it is true. It's weird. It
That's
is
7
weird
years
that
of college gets to you, doesn't it, Cynthia?
I know. It's crazy.
It is.
You know, I think that one could be a nice opportunity to reset, to kind of reset some of the other positions and wait to be able to pick a quarterback later or achieve one through free agency. Again, I wish that there were 32 franchise quarterbacks that could last for multiple. It'd be really fun, but this is the puzzle. This is how you have to solve it. You can only, you know, pick from the supply we have. You know, the demand is endless, but the supply is what it is.
How do you weigh taking a potential one of those quarterbacks if they were to fall to 33 between Shug and Dart, and then the potential of maybe giving up some of your extra draft assets to move back into the first round if you were considering, hey, I took Travis Hunter with number 2, and now I'm sitting at 16, and Shedeur Sanders is still on the board.
Yeah, moving back up is smart for the quarterback position, just because the percentage of the cap that position commands is getting nothing but higher, and it's making things really hard. So you get an extra year, obviously, if you are drafting a guy in the first round. So stick with one of those. If you're going to trade back in, it'd be for a quarterback. It'd be for a wide receiver. It'd be for a guy who really has one of those top 5 most expensive positions. So I can see doing it, especially, I mean, if somehow Shedeur Sanders falls that low, then it would be, it just feels like one of those things where you're like, this is a really, really smart, you know, swing, right? Like, you saw it with the Houston Texans getting C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson Jr. in the same draft. Like, that was bananas, but that was a really smart swing, because now the Texans are able to not have to pay a pass rusher and a quarterback for 5 years instead of 4. So, and they can, that's really great for their cap. So, you know, I think it's very smart to do, and I think it's something that should be considered. But you, between Shuck or, you know, Jackson Dart, like, you've got to bring them into your building, see if they understand the strategy, see if they can execute the things you need them to. Surplus value with quarterbacks is nice, meaning, like, if you have this, Shuck has a massive arm, maybe the biggest arm in the whole class in terms of velocity and how fast and hard he can throw. But if you can't give him enough time to be able to, you know, let those plays develop based on how he reads the entire defense, like, it's surplus value that you're never going to be able to, you know, you're never going to be able to capitalize on. So I'm looking at it and saying, what is it that you need him to do? I think I do not, there are very few coaches I think are more able to find a quarterback's strengths and play to them than Kevin Stefanski. I love what he's able to do for quarterbacks. So whoever of those two in the building, bring them in, see if you can get them at a lower rate than the 2nd overall pick. And I think that Browns fans would be really happy. And I think the rest of the North would be like, uh-oh, we got some troubles.
Cynthia Freeland joining us from the NFL Network. Through this whole process, Cynthia, I keep sitting back and I keep thinking, is the whole plan here just to acquire Kirk Cousins and let him play for 3 years? Is Atlanta going to move on from Kirk Cousins? And if so, where does he end up?
You know, the funny part is, if you kind of track like how Terry Fontenot works and Raheem Morris and all those things, I think they would be willing to part with him. I think they have to feel a comfort level with what their options are for the entire quarterback room. I know Michael Penix Jr., they drafted him really high, but do they, I would have to find a little bit more out about how they feel he's learned. And, you know, he had a nice end of the season, but, you know, that's stepping into a role, and it's a little different than being the starter from day one. So ultimately, do they have enough there with Penix and a backup to feel comfortable? That's the math. But I wouldn't be surprised. And, you know, I love Kirk Cousins. I grew up near Michigan State, so I've known him for a long time. And he's a guy who I believe, if he does come, I don't think, you know, obviously last year we had some mobility questions post Achilles injury. I don't think he would come there unless he truly was healthy enough to be able to do it too. So just so you guys, I don't know, that's my feeling about his personality. He wouldn't want to set himself up to let anyone down.
Would he be a good answer here?
If I'm honest, I think yes, because then you could get your Travis Hunter, yeah, and then you could, like, you could start to really have something special. Because the hard part about, as all of us know, watching the NFL for so long, you know, even the guys with that are the best prospects, like Caleb Williams, didn't fix the Bears last year.
No.
You know, he got sacked all the time. You know, the Titans, they're in an interesting spot because I don't know if they've solved their offensive line even a little bit, even with Callahan there. Like, Daddy Callahan, not even Brian, his dad, like, that guy's a legend, and he couldn't figure out the pressure issue yet. So, in my opinion, I think a Kirk Cousins would be a very, very exciting, like, the sum of the parts would be bigger than each individual part if there was a healthy Kirk Cousins there.
Let me bounce this last thought off of you on this one. And Cynthia Freeland joining us from the NFL Network and the Numbers Game on YouTube. You can watch Cynthia's show. The idea of, and this one's appealed to me a lot, because I'm not sure where to rank Sanders. I'm not going to analyze quarterbacks and know, is this guy going to make the jump? Is he not? I like Jackson Dart, as you do. The idea of Kirk Cousins, Kenny Pickett, and Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, Jalen Milroe, that trio, to me, feels like you could go win some football games, or at least have your quarterback situation under control, Cynthia. Does it feel that way to you?
I would love that for the Browns, because number one, I think every year, unless you have like your Patrick Mahomes and you can kind of figure things out a little bit differently, I think you should be taking a mid-round, like third, second-round guy. Now, maybe you take him a little higher just because of the way that this draft class is situated, but I think you should be taking, you know, until you have it figured out a little bit better, take more swings, because it's not, you know, if you look at historically, you know, Brock Purdy, right? Like, I hate coming back to that one, but like, he fit the system really well. Bo Nix, I know we look back now and we're like, well, they made the playoffs. Nobody thought they would even be the best team in their, like the, you know, that they would even be the second best or third best team in their division. They thought the Broncos would be fourth. Bo Nix, who made sense to Sean Payton, Sean Payton saw in him something that reminded him of Drew Brees, and that worked out really well for them. So you should be taking swings, and you should be not letting, you know, the revisionist past, or like looking back and be like, well, this one was a bad one. You got to kind of look forward, sunk cost, right? You have to move forward and find the right one. I think you should be drafting rookie quarterbacks pretty much every year, not first round, but, you know, you should be acquiring more until you get the right thing. Because what's the worst that could happen? You make a guy into a tradable asset. Oh no, that sounds terrible to have more draft picks. You know, like, it's great stuff.
If you're looking right now and you're the Browns, and there's been so much buzz around Carter, there's been so much buzz around Hunter, is trading down still on the table like we thought it was going back weeks and weeks, or is that sort of faded away? And if so, maybe what would it take?
You know, the hard part is, it's really, do you believe the Giants want, do other teams, maybe not the Browns, but do other teams, to find a trade partner that's really going to be worth foregoing the opportunity to get a Travis Hunter or even Abdul Carter? Like, is someone going to believe that the Giants, who have the most craziest quarterback room right now, that I, like, what is that? We need a reality TV show on that one. And that's insane, right? Like, how does Tommy DeVito interact with Russell Wilson? Somebody please just like show me that. But long story short is, do you believe that they're in the market for presumably Shedeur Sanders? That's what it's going to take. Because if the Browns can get the better of someone believing that they need to come up to get Sanders, absolutely. If they can get more than that, you know, you can go online and look at like the Jimmy J chart. It's roughly right. Like, it's not perfect, but it's roughly right. But if the Browns can get more than what the point value for that is, then potentially that's smart. But you have to believe that the Giants want Shedeur, and a team would have to believe that the Giants want Shedeur so much that they need to come up ahead of them.
Cynthia, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to have you with us, and we will be watching on the NFL Network and the Numbers Game on YouTube. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. And I miss the Midwest in the spring. It's the best time of year there.
Yeah,
I'll have to come home
soon. We're loving the flooding.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. But you know what happens after the flooding? Amazing green, all the flowers. It smells so good. You don't get that in California. You don't get that first spring smell.
Well, that's true. That's true. Enjoy the draft. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network, and Numbers Game on YouTube. That was Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network, who joined us moments ago here on Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps, Jake Volnick, in for Andy Baskin today. And that was Cynthia's response to asking about Shedeur Sanders. And she immediately went Travis Hunter on us. Jake, that feels like where this thing is going. I know, and again, everybody's on the outside looking in. The only people who really know are the guys sitting over there in Berea at 76 Lou Groza Boulevard, Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, Paul DePodesta, wherever he might be sitting.
He's not sitting there.
And he might stop in from time to time. And they're going to figure it out. I personally liked the one thing that Cynthia said to the question that I threw out at her, that was this: what if the Browns ended up with Kirk Cousins, Kenny Pickett, and fill in whichever rookie you draft in the second or third round? And she said she loved that option for the Browns. If Cousins is healthy, and I personally think, I thought he played pretty well last year until he got hurt in season, and it wasn't his Achilles. That sounds like just a real sensible way to go if you have any questions about taking Shedeur Sanders at number two.
Yeah, and I'm more in the boat that you are, where I think Kirk is probably closer to what he was for the first nine games than he was the last five or six, right? Where, one touchdown, nine interceptions doesn't really feel like Kirk Cousins to me.
No.
Or 17-7 feels just about right.
I remember he had that huge game in the middle of the season.
500 yards.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
It was great. Can you realistically really go get Kirk and spend the money, then draft a quarterback in the second round, and then next year be looking at your room going, ooh, we have nobody again?
But you know what? If Cousins were to come here, I would think he's like a three-year answer. And that allows you to do a lot of things at the quarterback position. It's not like he's Aaron Rodgers 40, right? He's 30, what, seven?
Yeah.
And if you could play him for two, maybe 3 years, 37, 38, 39, I mean, his game's not predicated on running all over the field. His game is predicated on putting the ball where it's supposed to be. I think that gives you the opportunity to develop somebody without having to perhaps reach for somebody. See, that's my fear with Sanders. I want him to be the right guy, and I want the Browns to take him because that solves everything.
Right.
Then you have your guy for the next 5 years, and you made the right choice, and he's a good player. But if they don't, if they're not convinced of that, you can't use the second pick in the draft on a guy who might be the 15th, 16th, 17th best quarterback in the league, because you'll be looking like you were when you had Baker Mayfield. Baker is certainly a competent NFL quarterback, but you thought you needed an upgrade if you're the Browns to win. And that's why they made that move. I don't want to be in that situation again where, hey, okay, he did a nice job, but by God, we're 9-8. That's not going to get her done. And so I so want them to draft him because they think he's going to be a star, and he is. And that's more wishful thinking maybe than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like she liked the idea of maybe not taking him at two, but then trading back in. Like I said, if he fell to 16, I feel like people are a lot more comfortable with that, obviously, as you would be.
As long as you don't have to give up next year's number one.
Right.
Which you might.
Well, it depends what else you throw in the
pit. Exactly. Yeah. But you might.
Yeah. It's in the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
I just think if you look at what you have right now, though, and you're going Shedeur or Kirk Cousins. Like I said, I like Kirk. I think Kirk puts you in a position to be semi-competitive.
Real competent NFL quarterback play.
The problem is the Browns are looking at a Super Bowl competition window, however you want to look at it, that slams shut on them, right? With Deshaun Watson not working out.
You've got to open it up again.
Right. Yeah. Their idea is that they're going to open it up quickly. Kirk Cousins for 2 to 3 years opens a competition window quickly. I don't think it opens a Super Bowl window at all. And I think they want to be there within the next 2 to 3 years. I think that's their idea. Shedeur, the possibility he could be that, I think is what they would like more.
Kirk Cousins' playoff record is not stellar.
No.
Jim is in Strongsville. Hi, Jim.
What's going on, Jim?
Hey, guys. Listen, I hate to keep shake, rattle in this cage, but all this Travis Hunter talk. Listen, the Browns have said that they view him as a wide receiver. I am not one of these that believes, well, there'll be some defensive. There's no defensive packages you put out there for special corners. Two, he's a rookie. I just don't see it. My take on it is the Browns view him as an offensive player. You better think that he is the most dynamic, explosive offensive play, non-quarterback offensive player in this draft, or you have no business taking him number two. You wouldn't play Justin Jefferson at cornerback. Look, that's what you got to expect this guy to be. I'm asking you this question right now. Would you rather have Hunter or would you rather have Garrett Wilson? I'm just not seeing the Hunter. He's a slot receiver. I think he's got great ball skills. I'm not seeing this explosion. You're not going to put him on the outside. I'm looking at this and I'm like, if the guy didn't play defense, which that has nothing to do with him being on offense. I don't understand. I get it. He's a great kid and everybody loves him. And Jeff, another thing, there's no way in heck I bring Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins hasn't been healthy in 3 years. You're going to bring him in to try to count on him for 3 years. That's just such a stretch.
That's unfortunately where they are right now. And Jim, thank you. They're looking for something at quarterback. So unfortunately, we're looking at options that might not be overly appealing. And I'll agree with you, Jim. I don't think it's overly appealing. But I can't come up with, off the top of my head, necessarily a better one right now. It's Baskin and Phelps with Jake Volnick in for Andy.